This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny, March 28th, 2025. We got a great show planned for you today, including a national analyst covering college basketball from The Athletic to make sense of the Maryland loss yesterday and the Elite Eight that's being formed. That's in 1 hour at 3 o'clock. And we've got tickets for you in the 4 o'clock hour today for the D.C. Defenders home opener this Sunday at Audi Field. We've got 2 four-packs of tickets to give away. So if you want to go to the Defenders game, you better be listening during the 4 o'clock hour here on Grant and Danny. Can we just put our hands together really quickly?
Come on.
For the Fab Five, not the Crab Five.
No, sir, that's no more.
Because we are winners here on the Grant and Danny radio program. Come on, we're just funning. Come on. We put our hands together for the Fab Five that is back together for the first time since before our spring training trip.
Party of Five.
Come on, man.
Party of Five. Jennifer Love Hewitt in her prime.
Because we've done shows on location, because Danny's gotten sick 800 times.
I mean, so many times.
Because people have had days off, and I did a little vacation with the fam in West Palm Beach and all the other things that have been going on. We have not had all of us together at one time in the studio for 3 weeks. So to see the smiling faces of Ryan and Darius and Toby all in unison as the three best friends anyone could have on the other side of the glass, this feels good.
It is strange. It's nice. Nice little pick-me-up after. This doesn't happen very often in the D.C. area. A team will play and they'll lose on a given night. That's normal. That happens at sports. Two teams play, two teams lose. I've dubbed that the D.C. deucing. And that's bad. When three teams play, I've dubbed that the liefecta when they all lose. Well, four D.C. area teams played last night and they all four lost. Not a lot of precedent there. I need a name for that. That was pretty depressing last night. Caps, no. Wizards, whatever. They gave up 2 trillion points. We'll talk about it. The Nats lost an opening game to the Phillies, and a lot of those fans are... couldn't be more obnoxious and annoying, and they were really close to us, and I got to see so many of them. That was fun. And then, of course, Maryland. Great first half, second half. Gross.
I don't know what to call it. I know that there are four teams playing, and they all lose, and the quadruple header went as bad as it could have gone. What are the odds and the chances that that even happens, by the way? If you start over again, Maryland and the Nationals and the Capitals and the Wizards, you play those games out 15 times. How often, how frequently is it even a possibility that all four of them could lose? But it certainly happened yesterday. That was, do we want to call it the double DC deucing? The DC deucing times two to the second power? Just make it four? I don't know what you want to do with it, but whoo, was it ugly. I got a bunch of people sliding into the Instagram DMs today with like screen grabs of all the games and like, hey, buddy, have fun.
Got the quad box going. Oh, do you?
The quad box might be the way to do it.
So many L's. Just the quad. I don't know. All the words I can come up with are bad.
I want you to know that when you moved microphones, which took a long time, by the way, to go 2 feet. But when you did that, the humming that was really loud stopped.
Yeah. So this
turn reminds on your microphone really quick.
The other one?
Yeah.
You guys can hear that?
I don't know if they can hear it or not.
Market number 7.
What's amazing is just how things start happening randomly.
Well, I asked Darius on TalkBack, did it go over the air? And he goes, yeah. So here we go.
I kept unplugging and plugging in my headphones.
I did too. I was like, is it my headphone jack?
Yeah, we were trying to figure out, like, was it headphone jacks? Was it your mic? Was it his mic? We finally deduced it was Danny's mic.
I have the crappiest headphones you can have. Mm-hmm. I buy them for $8 because I lose them or I break them. I do all kinds of different things, right? And so my headphones are so bad that I just don't bother. I throw them around.
You don't bother.
So I knew it was my headphones because this just, it's been a week. So this is probably
yesterday. Like you, it was an upgrade to use like Ryan's earbuds at the park.
But then I saw Darius doing the confused face and Toby listening to his phone real tight in on his ear. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, something is afoot here.
Here's what's afoot. Ready?
It's gone.
Oh, went away this time. Maybe turn the mic down.
Well, the engineer Tom just walked into the studio.
He touched something.
It magically fixed itself.
Well, this reminds me. You probably don't remember this, but maybe you do. During the height of the old pandemics.
Oh, Darius had it potted down. Give the people what they
want.
Here
we go. Ready?
Crank it up, Tommy.
Buzz Lightyear.
This is what we're working with.
Mm.
You hear that? It's like electricity.
Let's play electricity, a gaggle of hornets,
right?
Or a malfunction.
Let's play top 10 market or not.
There we go.
Play that one too. That's a fun game. I just don't know because the junkies used that microphone.
Yeah,
too.
It was used today.
So at some point it was working.
During the pandemics, when I'm at home, like everybody would constantly like get irritated at me because like Danny's Comrex, like I did it.
Your Comrex stunk.
Like Dan, it's Danny. And it's like I'm just trying to.
We did home shows for a year.
Yeah, I don't know
if Danny's Comrex wasn't around, it sounded crystal clear.
Yeah, there was this awful hiss or whatever, and like just again, it was like I did it. So again, this is a similar thing. Like all I did was push the button that I pushed every day. I pushed it and I started talking. And it's like, oh, Danny's thing again.
Come on, Danny. It drives me nuts. Get it together.
To be fair, it was your fault. It was always your Comrex. It was totally your fault.
It's your microphone. It's not my microphone.
Microphone glass. But the point of the dude's story is like there's like an association with me.
Right.
Danny. Microphone. It's the microphone. It's not me. It's the same button.
But whose microphone is it?
It's mine.
So whose Comrex was it?
It was mine.
It's got to be. There's some. You see what I'm saying?
I do. There's a correlation.
There is some linkage.
Do we have causation
going on here? A little bit of. I'm looking for the linkage.
Linkage.
We will persevere. We are radio professionals.
Yeah, I just moved down.
In fact, we already have. Do you agree that it took you a long time to get over there? Or no. Is that a fair critique?
No. I'm trying not to disrupt and make too many loud noises and clangs and things.
Did you just slide your chair or did you get up?
I switched chairs. I didn't want to do a chair rearrange because that's probably more distracting and noisy.
You started, the way I remember it was you got up and started to move as Mackenzie Gore was walking to the dugout waving everybody yesterday after 13 strikeouts, and you got in your seat right now. That's the way I remember
it. Is that what happened?
You're so rich.
That's how it went.
You're so salty. It just seemed like it took a while.
Well, I get it. Like, again, what there needs to be for me to kind of feel pleased is zero criticism of me, who's just minding his business, trying to do the show.
It's just more fun this way.
It's fun for one of us. But like this is what happens at home to me a lot, where I'm going, you know what I need? Just occasionally. What you've done, fine. I need a zero criticism, this is fine type environment sometimes. Other times when something is amiss, something is awry, hey, I need you next time to do this. Or I understand, like I'm all about self-improvement. I like coaching. I like getting better. It's my favorite thing. I'm all about improving. Sometimes though, when all I've done is everything that you can do, I want a no criticism environment just for a little bit. Just for a little bit.
I think we could give you that.
Well, we didn't. We got four minutes into the show, and we've been doing it for six minutes.
Today's not that day.
Yeah, today's not the
There's
time.
There's plenty of days where we could give you that.
There needs to be a time where it's like, you know what? You moved over and it was fine. There's
Before
no attention
we close
called to
the
it.
Curtain and stop talking about the fourth wall,
yep.
I do have one more thought. Is it amazing to anybody else that I legitimately believe this? Toby, you may agree with this. I don't know. Darius, I'd like to get your thoughts. The best sound we can possibly have is now over my cell phone. When I record segments with my cell phone, it sounds better than any Comrex. It sounds better than being in the studio, essentially. Now, the ceiling of the studio, like when it's working at its best,
yeah.
Probably still gonna narrowly by an edge be better than my cell phone.
Because like there's no buzz.
But not by a lot.
Yeah.
There's occasionally an Aldrin.
It's a closer margin than it should be.
My cell phone, when we were recording stuff down at spring training, it's like Comrex or cell phone.
We're in the dugout. Music's blaring or whatever, like loud, like opening day type stuff. Just you, me, and Dave, everything's clacking and echoes, and it's like there's no Buzz Lightyear.
I'm sure a Droid would sound just as good, but it's getting harder and harder for me to be knocking iPhones.
Yeah.
As my iPhone sounds so silly.
It's silly.
Darius, am I crazy?
You guys did, pull the curtain back. You guys did Bustin' Loose Baseball live down there. And I did not know that you guys did it from the phone.
Right.
It was incredible.
They did it outside the Airbnb, by the way, in the neighborhood.
The studio, the net sound that everyone thought was the ballpark, was Toby and I standing in front of our rental house with like dudes cutting the grass across the street.
Yeah, the nice golf carts that you heard were actually just a bunch of Toyotas driving down the street in front of our yard.
You're like, oh, that's nice. They're on the backfields at spring training.
Oh, that's so cool.
No, that splash was not one of the Nationals getting into the little pool there for rehab.
That's not an observation of Andy Laura.
It was our fat neighbor getting some sun. You know, it's a little bit different than what you were envisioning. But the cell phone sounded so loud. And as we're saying, like, man, it's great to be back in studio, back at full strength.
Hanging out back in studio with you guys.
All five of us together where the show sounds best. But I think we're getting there. We're fine. We can get to our program.
Do we just to do it a little bit under while you're talking, just to see if it's comfortable?
Yeah, I can tell you it's not.
No, you don't like it? Okay.
Yeah, it's... I could sleep with it. Oh,
look at this
God.
Thing.
So bad. Crank it. Let the people...
What's the highest it can go?
Give the people what they want.
If you're tired at home and want some white noise, we got you.
People go to sleep with this.
I do.
I do
a white noise bit.
I never want to hear that again as long as I live. I appreciate it. It's a good bit. But
like, it would be... Like, don't... Whatever you do, don't just pot it up while Grant's talking.
Yeah, that would
like,
be
whatever bad. You do, don't do that at some point.
I have to have a fan while I sleep. I cannot sleep without a fan
or a white
noise.
What do you do in a hotel
room? Great question. I either, if I have enough room in the bag, I will throw a little fan or something in there.
Wow.
Or
you'll throw a 106.7 in there?
I have to. Or I will just do white noise on my cell phone.
Yeah, I do that.
Which means it has to be plugged in. But what I can't do is fall asleep in a room that's silent. Your mind starts wandering. I'm thinking about everything. I need, even when I'm freezing cold in a room that's like 42 degrees, I'll just turn the fan away from me toward the wall.
Just so you have the buzz.
But I need the noise.
I started doing that. I could fall asleep for a lot of different things or circumstances, but we started doing it with kids where it's like the first time they make a little murmur, they need to cry themselves back to sleep or kind of whatever. So now we also live out in the suburbs and there's like nature around. So like woodpeckers sometimes roll by or birds. They're like, hey, it's almost six. Hey. I need that white noise loud right by my ear.
Get you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Maryland Terrapins needed more rebounds last night. Tough loss for the lads. Mm. They were only down 2 at the half, and then they got worked by 14 in the second half. The Gators were just better. I actually thought Maryland was going to win the game before it started. And even at halftime, I gave them a good chance. Being down 2, Gators having suffered a pretty legitimate injury to a double-digit point scorer. But, first of all, Florida hit way too many threes. They just weren't missing from outside. And
they're really good.
The inability to rebound in this tournament is so confounding. I don't understand it. The Terps were a good rebounding team all year long, and they just forgot how to rebound. Like, at the same time that the class of their coaching staff disappeared, and Kevin Willard had the worst press conference that I've ever seen a coach have right before
evaporated.
The tournament, the rebounding went out the door with the dignity of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go? They got out-rebounded last night 42-20. This was a problem dating back to, I think, the semis in the conference tournament. For a team with two bigs, and I know one of them in Queen, who's unbelievable, is out on the perimeter a lot, and maybe that's part of the problem. They just couldn't get any rebounds.
No.
And against a small Colorado State team, it almost was their undoing. Colorado State got like 20 offensive rebounds or something insane in that game. Florida, 42-20 edge last night on the glass.
I can't explain that. I can explain sometimes where it's like if you are aggressive and challenging shots and playing a kind of a spread out defense, you're susceptible to some offensive rebounds happening. Emphasis on the word some.
Yeah.
Not to be doubled up plus two. I can't explain that. I can't. So,
some of that, I don't want to even knock the kids because I think this is such a good team. I actually loved this Maryland team as I started watching them
group,
at the end
man.
Of the year. They're talented. They can do everything. They are fun. If you're a Terps fan, I get why you completely infatuated and in love with this group all year long. Julian Reese and Derek Queen are awesome. Gillespie was knocking down shots left and right before he fouled out last night. Rodney Rice and Miguel who can score it. They're deep. The whole Crab 5 thing, I totally get it because they play all the minutes and they score all the points and they are as good a group as you're going to have, really, in any conference, probably, for a selection of years. Like, you're not going to just recapture that magic in a year or two. But some of the rebounding has to be either an effort thing or a want-to thing, because just to get rebounded that bad, you can get out-rebounded. 42-20. I just need you to be a little better than that.
You might. I think it said very well. You could lose that battle, and you probably are going to against a Florida team that does it well. But I can't explain 42-20 because that's the game. There's any other stat that you want to point to? Cool, 42-20. I mean, it seemed like every second chance point that Florida got after an offensive rebound was a killer three or that one put back at the end of the shot clock.
That was such
happened.
A great basketball play.
Oh, it was phenomenal by Condon. Yeah.
Uh, Who was falling, though?
Condon. I think the guy
Condon
that went out with the
play?
Injury.
Okay.
Yeah, made the play.
So he ends up falling on his butt, and he just throws the ball as close to the rim as possible for the opportunity to hit the rim and then the putback, all at the horn. That was the moment when they were down about 15 mm-hmm. with 7 minutes to go or whatever, but that play happened where I said,
"That's it.
They're going to lose tonight."
Yeah.
Because I kept waiting on the 10-2 run. I thought it was possible. They did it against Colorado State. I know Florida was better. But that play, you knew, it's curtains. This is not their game. We'll get into Maryland in just a few because I got some thoughts on Kevin Willard. I know you do as well. Mackenzie Gore was unbelievable.
What a pleasure that was.
On opening day. The Nats finished second. They lose in 10 innings, 7-3. I don't know that there's a lot of shame in their game yesterday. For 9 innings of regulation baseball, matched up with maybe the top team in the division and a potential World Series club in the NL. It was a 3-3 baseball game, and your ace, Gore, outpitched their ace, who, by the way, in Zach Wheeler, is a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah.
Gore turned in one of the best starting pitching performances in Nats Park history yesterday. He faced the minimum, allowed one base runner on one hit without a walk, and struck out 13 in 6 innings on opening day. The list of starting pitchers all time who have 13 strikeouts, no walks, and don't give up a run in 6 or more innings on opening day, that list is Bob Gibson, who was so good in 68. They changed
the rules.
Thank you. And Mackenzie Gore. That's the list.
He was unbelievable. And for those that are talking about shadows, yeah, I'm sure they were a factor. Now, do I get to pick apart Zach Wheeler's stuff or no? He befuddled you. Sorry. He was throwing wiffle balls. He was throwing sadness and failure and anger just all up at the plate, and you had to swallow it. That's as good as I've ever seen him. First inning, they made him work a little tiny bit relative to the rest of the start. And once he settled in and was locked in, it was strike one. Now you're already in the hole. You're at his mercy. And when he's pounding the zone like that, you could see a couple of guys got onto it really quick and went, uh-oh, I'm early action here. I'm not getting to 2 strikes. I'm not going to be put away. And then you were anyway because they couldn't square him up. He was unbelievable.
He's a lefty with a 90th percentile fastball velocity overall. And it's a lot better than that as a southpaw because lefties don't touch 98 like he did yesterday. But the sweeper was really good. The fastball was excellent. You know, he got 10 swings against his slider. 8 of them were whiffs. That pitch was electric.
Dark.
But that was Scherzer at his best.
Mm-hmm.
That was Strasburg opener, 14 Ks in his debut. I mean, that was as good as it gets from Mackenzie Gore. And 2 months from now, he gets to come out in the 7th, and who knows, maybe he ends up with 15 or 16 strikeouts, and we're talking about one of the all-time pitching performances.
That's right.
But because it was chilly and it was the first game, 93 is the end of the road there. Bullpen ends up giving it up. 6 earnings for them. They walked 6 in the final 3 innings of baseball, and that's loose. The Caps played last night. We mentioned their loss. They were up 2-1 in the second. They give up 2 goals, fall down 3-2. And then the only goal scored in the third was the empty netter. So a multi-goal loss for Washington. They get just one of a possible 4 points in their little 2-game road trip. I'm not mad about this. I'm fine. That the bigger game was Winnipeg. They showed up. They played well. They took them to overtime on the road. More importantly, though, this brand new goals tracker that we've got
mm-hmm.
in studio here at 106.7 The Fan, the Great Chase, still says 6.
Yeah.
10 games left, 6 goals needed to surpass Wayne Gretzky. Alex Ovechkin, despite being ultra aggressive offensively last night, he had a ton of attempts. Not a whole lot to show for it in terms of shots on net. I think he had 2 in the game, but did not light the lamp.
No. And it's just it's a math thing, right? That's what we're talking about. And inevitably, this thing is going to happen, right? We're now just sort of going, oh, what is it going to happen this year or the start of next year? Or who knows what happens between now and then? I have no idea. But really could have used a goal in one of these last couple of games. You'd feel a lot better about his chances. But again, I'm still on record. I still think he does it. He's ever done is risen to doubts, risen to challenges, risen to maybe this is not the time it happens, whatever the it is. And he does it. So I'm still betting on him, but it got tougher after this little two-game road trip.
So I get that. And if this was the final year of his contract and he would need to re-sign a new deal to get it if he finished a couple short, I would agree with you. But there's not really a necessity to get it done now. I think he'd probably like to get it over with, so understandably, you'll bet on him. But if he doesn't do it, what's the loss, really? You're playing next year one way or the other. You just come back and you set it early in the season. So it's not like he has to.
Mm-hmm.
He would just prefer to, which is why I don't know that he's going to be hell-bent pushing at the end of a season with a long postseason ahead to, you know, basically kill himself physically to get this thing done. One Ovechkin note, though, from yesterday, and this might be every bit as important as to whether or not he scored. I thought he had a great moment and really did something yesterday that I hope if you're a parent, you saw and you show this video to your young people. Because at its core, what sports can be is a wonderful arbiter of like decency and an opportunity to show how you should live. Last night, the Capitals lose. They're salty, and they're bummed, and they're leaving the ice. They're skating off the ice to the bench. Several of the guys are already down the tunnel toward the dressing room. And Alex Ovechkin, who's the captain, comes over to the bench and starts whacking his stick and yelling at the guys to come back out on the ice. And you can see some confusion. They're like, "Whoa, what?
What are we doing, huh?"
They get back out on the ice, and they line up. And then Ovi gets Marc-Andre Fleury, the terrific 20-year NHL goaltender, who did a lot of battles with Ovi in the Caps when he was with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I believe he was the goaltender, memory serves, in Vegas.
In Vegas, I think,
when the Caps beat to him in the Stanley Cup as well. This is a guy who's one of Vezina and has been one of the great goalies over the last couple of decades in the NHL. But Ovi, knowing that he's retiring, this is his swan song, brought all the Caps back out to do a handshake line at center ice, where one by one, they went down the line and greeted and gave hugs to Marc-Andre Fleury, starting with Alex Ovechkin last night.
Super classy.
Right after a loss.
Yeah.
Furious skating off the ice, pulling guys essentially out of the dressing room to come out to get into this line to shake hands. I thought it was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
It was really neat. And, you know, I'm going back and forth between that game and Maryland and ended up happening to catch that moment. And I went, because at first, like everyone else, I'm going, what is going on? What? There seems to be confusion. Are they reviewing something? Because, again, I wasn't watching with a ton of sound. Kids are doing stuff. Trying to figure out what was happening. Like, is there some sort of impropriety? Are they challenging something? What's happening? And as everyone kind of lingered around. And then I sort of caught the whiff of it, or caught the idea that, no, this is a super classy send-off situation. It's not like they're in your conference and you're going to see them tomorrow. You know, this is it, probably. Last time you guys will ever face each other. And it was the classy send-off. And I think hockey does stuff like that really well.
Hockey is the best at it, and I think the Caps are just a really classy organization.
Agree with that.
And I don't know how much I would have given Ovi credit for that over the years, just not really knowing behind the scenes, you know, what that's all about. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a tell yesterday. I mean, this is a guy who appreciates the history of the sport and the league and guys he's done battle with. I thought that was a really, really good moment. But that was loss number three. All right, so we've got the Nats in the afternoon. Maryland shortly thereafter. The Caps found a way to not finish first, and they always finish first. So we're missing somebody. There's four losses yesterday.
One other turn.
Oh, the Wizards gave up 162 points in a regulation game.
Games?
No. Sorry, I misspoke. They played one game.
Yeah.
It was only 48 minutes long.
Oh, it must have gone. No. It went to overtime a couple times, right?
Oh, no. This was regulation, so it was 48 minutes.
Oh.
They gave up 162 points.
Oh, okay.
The ninth highest point total ever allowed. And for just the second time since 1990, a team scored 160 points. Only a 2008 game between the Denver Nuggets and the now defunct Seattle Supersonics did we see a team score more points in an NBA game than we saw last night.
Yeah. I lost count of the number of Pacers in double figures, but it's a lot. I think it's like nine different guys scored double figures.
Yeah, four of them were off the bench.
Yeah. Again, is what I'm going to say to that. Alex Starr played well, had a nice offensive outburst, and that's cute and adorable. But yeah, I mean, what are you going to say?
I thought he was really good on the defensive end last night.
No, he was not. That is
I'm
not
doing
a place.
A bit.
He's having fun.
He's a terrific defender.
In general, he's a useful defender, yeah. But, you know,
they needed a few more stops from him last night.
Well, individually, I like Bob Carrington as an on-ball type guy. Like Keshawn George is someone that can defend. He didn't play last night. But, man, oh, man, that's one of those burn-the-film type things. Or make everyone watch it on the team playing over and over and over again.
We've had so much stuff going on with Nats opening day. We've been at the gala. We have not really talked a ton about the Kevin Willard situation since the start of the tournament. We've talked about Maryland, but not their coach. We will do that next on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. The Maryland basketball run that should have been joyous, exuberant, and the most enjoyable couple of weeks for Terps fans in the last couple of decades probably, ended up being a frustrating fortnight. I mean, this was an absolutely maddening last couple of weeks, I think, if you're a Maryland fan, starting with the eve of your tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what annoys me the most about this whole thing, the selfishness of Kevin Willard with trying to go out there and throw his weight around and his stare down with the athletic director where he basically pushes out the building at a press conference, was you did that the day before the game, completely taken away from the game and your team. And then on the eve of the Sweet 16, and this is less his own doing, he didn't go to the mic and make it all about himself, but we start to get pretty good wind that you're at the very least a serious contender for another head coaching job, which I don't have nearly as big a problem with because coaches leave all the time and you have to start negotiating behind the scenes. Your agent's got to start working while your team's in the tournament. That's not abnormal. And there's no loyalty in college sports anyway, Danny. The players have zero loyalty. The coaches have zero loyalty. There's less loyalty in college sports now than in the pro sport game because there's no contracts.
That's right.
It's a year-to-year, who's going to give me the most and ask the least of me, basically.
Hey, these guys all have agents. They're mercenaries.
So I'm not going to throw Kevin Willard under the bus for wanting to go to Villanova. It's a better job, despite what Maryland fans will tell you. I don't even think it's particularly close. But what I think is outrageous is just how he handled the entire thing. Instead of answering questions in a way where you could have been dismissive of everything going on and made it about your team and about the games, he chose not to do that. And the initial press conference, which I was not here for, you mm-hmm. and Toby were filling in that day.
Yep.
I actually thought, and I ended up hearing from Toby when you were out a couple days later, that you guys took a different tact. I thought I would be the only person with my take at that time, which was that that press conference was a joke and he should be ashamed of himself.
Yep.
But you had the same take.
100%.
And when I post that on social, I'm sure when you said it on the radio,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine you got the same heat from Maryland fans I did.
100%.
And that's what I find so amazing and borderline hilarious about this whole thing, is that all of the Maryland fans who now hate Kevin Willard's guts and want him out and can't wait till the guy leaves and are pointing and chanting exit stage left and booing him, were all angry at me and you and the people who said, this guy just did one of the least team-first things I've ever seen in my life. And they all defended him and screamed, I'm sure, at you and screamed at me about leave Kevin Willard alone. And then 48 hours later, he was enemy of the state number one. The same people. It's pretty amazing to me.
There it is. It's that. So that's the part I'm upset about. The weasel, me first, better deal coach that you hired turns out to be a weasel, me first, better deal coach. No surprise there. I thought what he did was classless, and he's not above blame. It was pathetic, frankly. He's the first college coach to want more from his AD. He's the first college coach that would like more funding for basketball, who'd like more NIL, more facilities, more trips, more cool stuff. Everybody wants that, right? Think the coach at Penn State doesn't want it? Name a college program. That guy wants more. That's time in memoriam. To take away from the tournament, his team, this group that he put together, deserves credit for that, was pathetic, embarrassing, shameful, and classless. So all the people that yelled, I like what he's doing. What he's doing is awesome. What needed to be said. Oh, yeah, dear hon. Terps. Wrong. Idiot. Swallow it. Eat this. Digest this. You ordered it. The waiter's standing there goes, who ordered the weasel me first coach? Who ordered that? I don't know. It was you, horse's ass, that yelled at us, that screamed. People on the air were talking about how much they love that because, quote, it needed to be said. It did not, by the way. Advocate for yourself. Advocate for your team. Advocate for your program. You don't do it at the press conference for your team's game the next day
in
the NCAA tournament.
Every coach in the history of negotiating their next contract and being a part of college sports is annoyed by things in their program.
100%.
Every one of them. I've never seen anyone do that, ever. And one of the problems I just have in general in life now is the normalization of foolish behavior in all facets. I always talk about decorum just being out the window, but the more we allow stuff like this to be cool, when you agree with it, it's awesome. In that moment, Maryland fans who don't like their AD, name an AD that sports fans like. They don't like him, right? So they're all like, oh, Evan sucks. Willard's the man. He's got the Crab 5 ready to go to the Sweet 16. when he does the press conference, he's a WWE character cutting a promo, coming out of the tunnel in gorilla position, ready to talk about SummerSlam. So everyone's high-fiving and pouring Old Bay all over each other. They couldn't get enough of it. Let's all take a big bath in Old Bay and fly up to Camden Yards and watch Adley hit two bombs. Dude, drink some natty booze. And as soon as he might not be advocating for himself,
you see,
your stars aren't aligning anymore, you hate his guts.
Well, he was never advocating for the program. That's the mistake Rubes made.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. They wrapped themselves in the Maryland flag and all poured Old Bay all over each other and like it was baby powder. And so when they did that, it was all about Maryland basketball and mm-hmm. Kevin Willard's the man and Evans can kick rocks and we're getting a new AD and sign him to a lifetime contract. No. This guy is not saying anything about Juju. Yeah. This is not about Derek Queen.
This is Bobby Petrino on hardwood, folks. This is what this is. He was always using you and your enthusiasm as a weapon to get a better deal for himself. And so will the next guy, by the way.
Well, he could do the funniest thing in the world, where he could now, because of the heat he's taken, because of segments like this all over town by everybody, he could just take a pretty good deal. Maybe it's not as good as the Villanova deal. And he could give everyone the bleep you and say, you guys had this wrong all along, and stay. It would be hysterically be great for the Maryland program. Because that's the next thing that Maryland fans are getting wrong right now, by the way. They're very angry, and they're disappointed in him, so they're booing and they're yelling. And I totally get that. You should be. But the idea that you don't want this guy back is your next mistake. You should absolutely want him back. If and when he walks, and I think it's when, not if. Do you?
I do. I think it's
I think we'll get news sometime today from somebody that it's happening. But could be wrong. Who knows? When he walks, though, Kevin Willard goes and coaches at Villanova. You lose whatever part of the Crab Five that you think is coming back in the transfer portal. Most of those guys are out. On top of that, whatever players, because the portal's now open, that are on their way to Maryland, this top 20 program in America right now, going into next year, has a chance to be another tournament run type team. Those guys are no longer coming here. On top of that, the second tier of your players, the reserves, they're walking. This sets the program back 4 or 5 years easy. I mean, they are in shambles if and when he leaves because there aren't great coaching options. The best thing they could do is go down lower a level than they probably should for their hiring. So like Mason and Tony Skin, who did an amazing job with 27 wins at my alma mater, or go to the American coach Simpkins and grab him. Like one of these rising stars and grab one of those guys. Normally, they'd have to leave and go to another gig and then Maryland. But we could argue about that. But the point is, we're so late in the game here that the coaches have gotten their jobs. Patino's gotten his job. These mm-hmm. dudes have left and found homes now. So you're getting a coach that is a gamble at best. You're probably stepping down in terms of quality of coach, even from Willard. This was the best year he's had.
Uh-huh.
And the roster is detonated, and you're so far behind in the portal and the transfer game and the luring players away, you are starting all over. So anyone who doesn't want this guy back, I don't really agree with that. I think the best case scenario for Maryland basketball is that he comes back, we all pretend like nothing happened, and he keeps coaching, and you just take his slap to the face like a love tap. That's the best case scenario. But I just find the entire last week borderline comical in how supportive everybody was of one of the most ridiculous press conferences I've ever seen in my life. And now how everybody just hates the guy. Not for the press conference, right, which should have never happened.
Right, they hate the guy for the wrong reason.
And it is the entire point here. It's what ruined the whole 2 weeks.
Precisely. And again, this is a person that's using the system. Okay? This is, again, Kevin Willard is classless. I'll root against him forever. He's a good coach. He'll be good at Villanova, wherever else he goes. And he'll better deal them to go somewhere
else. Because of the presser, right? Not because he's leaving.
No, he's a me-first weasel who showed you his tactics. He's not afraid to nuke anything. Like, he pours the kerosene, lights the match, and goes, I'll drop it. And you go, all right, fine, okay.
And a lot of people don't care, by the way. Maryland fans are like, that's how we get things done. Let's stay a week for Christmas next time. That's not how you get things done, man.
Uh-uh, no. So, to me, he showed you who he is, and I now know. I've got him properly categorized. Me-first weasel, right? But the me first weasel is playing the system in the game that a lot of these same folks created for him, right? I mean, this is what you do. You go to a program that's so hungry and desperate, have the smallest amount of success, a micro amount of success. Playing on the second weekend ain't that big a deal. A lot of colleges do it every year. Gonzaga had a 13-year winning streak going to the Sweet 16 or whatever the hell it is. This is supposed to be normal for one of these alleged top programs. You're going to have to look in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most overrated program of them all? We are. You're VCU North. Sorry, you're a stepping stone program now. That's the deal. VCU has to do this every couple of years. You can win a bunch of games in the A-10, go to the tournament, win a game or two, then that guy's leaving. See Wade come or will. The coach there now is going to go somewhere else too.
They're not VCU North.
VCU, but a little northern, a little further north.
That's aggressive.
This is a stepping stone program now. The way to avoid that is to find the guy that cares about Maryland, your next Gary Williams. The next hot shot you bring in, who's going to play the AAU kiss-butt game, who's going to do the NIL, who's going to manage all that kind of stuff, will leave here for somewhere else too. Because it's a football school that doesn't play good football. They don't know who they are. They can't figure it out. You can't give this coach what he wants. Whatever the next guy happens to be, you're in the same bucket. You're going to do this again.
We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067 for you guys. Do you want Kevin Willard back at this point if you are a Maryland fan? And I want to tackle what you just said about where they are in the grand scheme of things. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. No official news yet today as far as Kevin Willard being on the move. That is the speculation, certainly. Maryland basketball losing to Florida in a blowout last night. Thought the boys played really hard. It was actually a really competitive game, 2 points at halftime. And the Gators, a one seed, just were better and pulled away. But it was an unbelievable season. And unfortunately, what should have been a really joyous run in the tournament has been marred by this Willard controversy. And that's what we're talking about. Putting a bow on and kind of moving on from the fact that I thought his press conference was a joke and that he brought all of this on himself unnecessarily. And I have found just the irony of the same people that clapped like seals for his terrible press conference now hating his guts all in the span of a few days to be incredible. I do think if you're a Maryland basketball fan, this is a no-brainer. You should want him back. There's a difference between being angry at someone. There's a difference between maybe even disliking someone at this point. He's going to have to grow back into your good graces, right? He's going to have to get flowers a bunch. He's going to have to prove himself over a couple of opportunities to leave or do the right thing or not have stupid press conferences, not make it all about himself. But staying together is still the best path forward here because him leaving is a disaster. It is a detonator to a program that right now is in the best place that it's been in a long time. If he walks, they will stink next year, and they will not be particularly competitive in the conference for the next few years. That's what's on the line here. If he stays, I think there is a direct line. There's a metro that's not stopping at any other lanes, getting you right back into possibly being able to win the conference in the regular season as a bullish goal, but being able to win some tournament games next year.
They should want him gone. He showed you who he was, and he'll do this again. This is not going away. He's always going to be looking for a better deal. He doesn't have the affiliation or the allegiance to stick it out and go through the tough times. They're going to be a different roster anyway. It's college basketball. Derek Queen's a pro. Reese is a senior. A couple of guys are already transferring. You're hoping and praying that whether Willard stayed or not, that maybe I can convince Rodney Rice to go or to stay, rather. And everybody else on the bench is probably already leaving for a better deal as well. One of the guys off the bench is a senior. So to me, the idea that there's some continuity, there's no such thing in college basketball. This is the best season he's ever had, and he's trying to leverage it into a brand new opportunity. He'll do it again.
But if a couple of the key players stay, which would happen, and Willard is still there, the head coach who just guided them along this path, who just signs an extension, you have a way better opportunity to attract players in the portal than the new head coach who has not done it at this level. And the other problem I would bring up again to him walking is it's not like the regular season ended, they didn't make the tournament, and then you and everybody else were competing for the best coaches in America that want to make the leap up to their conference. The seats have been sat in.
Sure.
The music is turned off, man. The best case scenario for them is to hire like a Tony Skin from Mason who just signed an extension, or go to American and get Simpkins. I think that's probably the ceiling. And it's like Moneyball never making a lot of sense to me, because you're just saying this is the pool we look at. It's college players only who get on base. You're not looking at like Giancarlo Stanton, the high school player, Mike Trout or whatever. You got to play college. You got to get on base. You got to do these things. You've shrunk the pool of possible coaching hirings.
In I suppose in theory, I mean, but guys are switching all the time. I mean, extensions happen. I mean, Sean Miller leaves every 2 years and went back to Xavier to reconcile that, or not reconcile, to kind of restart that, and he's gone because he got a better deal after they lost this past weekend, or I guess the weekend before. So, yeah, I mean, you could start poaching people if you want to go spend the money, but I guess your point's well seen. I just don't think there's any continuity possible in college sports right now, and I think that's a huge sort of systemic dilemma with it, and I think it's frustrating, and it's one of the, again, it's a secondary conversation, but it's really the primary one. This new world sucks.
Yes.
And everybody that just screamed, pay the players, that's all for me, you never really thought about any of this. And you've ruined it for a lot of us that are still here, invested in it, and care about it. But that's another
and
conversation.
And I would say players should have been paid in the sense of NIL being on the table. NIL should absolutely be a thing. But the idea that we should just do it without any regulation, you were wrong, and it's been proven. This is stupid.
Right. I mean, NIL was supposed to be like Grant endorses the local car dealership, not like a legal slush fund where we just dole out $1 million and this guy sets foot on campus.
We all knew where it was headed.
I suppose we did, but... Well, the those of us that said, hey, a little bit of caution might be good. Maybe write down some guidelines. Shut up. All right, you got it, Crusader, with your column. Move on to your next thing.
Joshua in Upper Marlboro, you're on G&D. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, first off, I admit to being one of those steel-clapping homers. I was wrong. I celebrated the press conference, Willard going off the top rope, and it was like he went off the top rope, and I looked underneath him, and I saw he's pinning down my mom. Like, I mean, it was
you're like, he just horrible. Went off the top rope. You're like,
oh, my God, who's his victim? Oh,
who
no.
Is he
who's
pinning?
Under there?
Mom?
It's me. He's pinning me.
Grant, you said something at the end of the last segment that I thought was profound, and it's actually why I disagree with Willard staying. You know, as big of a problem as Willard is, I feel like the lack of school identity or the wrong identity is an even bigger one.
100%.
They need an AD to come in and rebuild this from the ground up as a true basketball school. I know football makes a lot of money, but they're just so much better at basketball. And if they got a guy who was there for the long run and then got a guy like Simpkins from AU who cares about the program, yes, it's going to be a tough couple years, but I just don't think you can reward and have this guy Willard hanging around. He's so poisonous. Such bad feelings. And he could jump after the next season. I mean, I would rather have a couple down years and build it up the right way into one of those East Coast powerhouse basketball programs like it once was. Just take the L in the short term.
That's what's at the core of this thing, is the identity crisis. So I don't absolve Maryland from this at all, because, again, they made the mistake before, and they double down and make it every single year. But they would probably tell me in the darkest of rooms, it's not a mistake. We're making more money in the Big Ten, trying to be a football school, just sort of pretending to socialize with these folks, and we get more. So they're probably happy that way.
Would you guys bring Kevin Willard back? As a Maryland fan, do you want him back? 800-636-1067. No goal for Ovi last night means he's got 10 games to get 6 more goals. We'll touch on that. Plus, where do the Commanders rank in terms of win totals in the conference? You might be surprised. This is The Fan.